public hearing is subdivision number 2010-8, Villages at Herring Creek Development Company, LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 17.64 acres into 22 lots. Also requesting a waiver from the forested buffer requirements, and the site is located south of Sand Bay Drive within the villages of Herring Creek and being south of Route 277. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I asked Mr. Abbott to provide us any comments from that agency comments.
Mr. Chairman, the TAC report of March 7th, 2011 is part of the record. On March 23rd of this year, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. That's a part of the record. Each of you has received a copy of that. I believe the TAC comments are part of the exhibit booklet. The applicants provided irrevocable power of attorney for the lot owners, so we have the required 51%. And we did receive 3 return mail public notice hearings. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Dukes. Where have you been keeping yourself, Mr. Dukes? We haven't seen you lately.
It's an economic thing.
You think?
Well, for the record, my name is Hal Dukes. I'm with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor. And for the record, I'm representing my favorite client, me. In the course of events, we are...
Mr. Dukes, I have to stop you. Isn't there an old saying about that?
Yeah, well, it's economic again.
Well, unfortunately, we cannot appoint a counsel for you, so you're just going to have to do it yourself.
Well, I took bids, and I was the lowest.
All right. There you go.
In 2003, we came before this group asking for the development at the villages of Herring Creek to be formalized, and we subsequently completed the development. As part of the project, there was about 17 acres of land left over that was used as part of the sewer disposal area. And the concept was that we would come back when the county sewer lines came down in that area. And in the course of events, the county sewer lines are down in that area. We have created our development to meet all of the standards of the county requirements, and we would continue with the new section also. Since we started this development, we've been surrounded by other developments on all sides. So there's one issue about a buffer, but that issue is not farmland behind us. Those are houses there now, smaller lots. You'll notice from our development, our lots are much larger than any of our neighbors because we think we have a better concept of the development. At the present time, all the amenities are done except for a tennis court that's on order. We have an Olympic-sized pool, which happens to be the largest pool in any development in the area. And we have a really nice clubhouse, so we have a lot of nice features there. And these 22 lots would take part in the same concept as any other owner there. They'd be part of the owner's association. Having said all that, we have a presentation before you, and it's probably best for me to defer to our Jessica Watson so she can describe the requirements that she's been able to put together.
Nichols. Or unless you got married.
No. Then there will be 2 Jessica Watsons. It's Jessica Nichols with Artesian Consulting Engineers.
Jessica Watson.
You're thinking of the Conservation District.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's what you get when you take the low bid.
Boy.
Well, Mr. Dukes covered most of the introduction. More or less, this is a 17-acre parcel that is currently functioning as the wastewater treatment facility for the existing subdivision of the villages at Herring Creek, which is a 119-lot subdivision currently with entrances off of Camp Arrowhead Road. What we're proposing is to, at the point, which I believe is going to be fall of this year, the wastewater facility is going to go offline because the improvements will have been made to connect into the Sussex County Engineering Department's sewer lines within the roadway. So So that treatment facility is going to be going offline, and we are going to, it's going to be decommissioned under observation from DNREC and the Sussex County Engineering Department. And we're proposing to create 22 additional lots. So these would be lots 120 through lots 141 of the subdivision. They are minimum lot size of 20,000 square feet. They will obviously have sewer from Sussex County, and water will be supplied by Tidewater Utilities. We are proposing on the west side, where there is already an existing 30-foot buffer from the agricultural lands to the west, there's an existing 20-foot easement currently to the east of the property along, I think it's Angola Crest, which is the development to the east of this property, and we propose to convert that, or not convert, the easement will be maintained and it will be a 20-foot buffer. And like Mr. Duke said, we didn't feel there was a need for a buffer along the southern property line based on being adjacent to Heron Point, I believe it is, which is a cluster subdivision with smaller lots and at a greater density. The 22 acres on this, or I'm sorry, 22 lots on the 17.6 acres is a density of 1.25. In your booklet, I have included a smaller version of the preliminary as well as a smaller version of the colored plans, and the TAC comments are also included in there, as Mr. Abbott said, as well as the covenants and restrictions for the existing community, which will carry over into this phase. And I will now go through Chapter 99-9C of the code to see how we address those items. The layout of the proposed subdivision is in kind with the existing subdivision as well as the surrounding landscape. There are no known wetlands located within the parcel, and the parcel's outside of the 100 and 500 year floodplains. There are no known historic features located within this parcel. There are 1.26 acres of open space which will be preserved as forested buffers. Tree vegetation and soil removal. Well, there's a small area of trees located on this section of property. Being that this is out of the roadway, the only tree removal would be to justify grading of the lots for positive drainage. I can't say that there won't be many grade changes, because there'll probably be a significant amount of grade changes with changing from the facility over to the subdivision, but nothing that would go off-site. A 30-foot forested buffer has been proposed on the western boundary, as well as the 20-foot forested buffer on the eastern boundary. The development is to have central water operated and maintained by Tidewater. The development will have central wastewater operated and maintained by Sussex County. Pollution of surface water and groundwater will be prevented through implementation of DNREC and the Conservation District's approved stormwater quality BMPs. Stormwater management and erosion and sediment control will be meet or exceed the current Sussex County Conservation District standards. The internal roads will be designed to meet or exceed Sussex County and the state fire marshal regulations. Property values should not be affected based on this development being in kind to what's surrounding it. The site's located in an AR1 area, and the property intends on using the land for residential purposes at a proposed density of 1.25, which is less than the allowable density of 2 dwelling units per acre. The existing community of villages of Herring Creek has a clubhouse and pool and all of the other amenities that Mr. Dukes went over. So the inclusion of these areas into the subdivision will minimize the effect on the public and community facilities, as the amenities already exist within the subdivision. The access to the subdivision will be via the access that is currently was improved several years ago when they built the subdivision. I would anticipate that there will be minimal, if any, improvements warranted by these 22 lots. Those details will work themselves out once we submit to DLDOT, but we do have to go through that process. So if there are improvements warranted, we'll deal with that at that time. The site is being developed in accordance with the current zoning comprehensive plan, which allows for residential development at low densities in this area, and there will be minimal and no effect on area waterways, as we'll be protected by natural buffers as well as stormwater management. And that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
All right. I forgot to ask earlier, is anyone here with an interest in this application? If so, you're welcome to get up and look at the exhibit if you want to. It's kind of hard to see from there. If there's anyone who would like to, please feel free. That's fine. Yeah, if there's somebody there who needs to see it, we all have it in front of us in the booklet, so if it's anyone who has an interest. All right, then. We'll see if we have any questions. And once again, Mr. Johnson, you're the lead.
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. On this particular project, could you...
Myself?
Somebody.
Yes, somebody.
Tell me what this land is currently being used for.
Right now, it's part of the association. It's a common area, and it's being used for a sewer disposal, like spray irrigation field.
So spray irrigation?
Yes, sir.
What about lagoons?
There's a lagoon there.
And treatment building?
There is one there in there, Tom. Yes. There's one, yes.
So all that's going to be removed?
Yes, it is.
And what kind of notices, if any, are you going to give to these future prospective buyers that their house is being built on what was used for a sewer treatment?
Well, you're going to get the same notice you get under Delaware law. We would disclose everything. But you'll get an engineering report to show that the land stabilized, compaction tests are met with all the criteria that's required.
So what's being sprayed on the field?
Well, first, the real facts are we have very few houses in that development. And at this juncture, it's very minimal. I would say... how many houses do we have there? 30 out of 117, so there's only 38 there. And they're not full-time, a lot of them aren't.
So the, you're saying that the sewer treatment plant has not been used that much?
No. Many of those houses weren't built until just recently.
It was approved in 2003. It probably hadn't been used more than 5-6 years, some of the houses are new.
We didn't really get started until about 2006.
Okay. So with this addition, this is an addition to the existing subdivision,
yes,
am I correct?
Is.
This is not a totally new
subdivision? No, it is an addition. It's always been planned since we purchased the property.
So all these folks will be able to utilize the facilities of the whole subdivision?
Absolutely. The clubhouse is one of the largest clubhouses in the area. I mean, we didn't... cut anything. I mean, we really did the clubhouse has got three areas for exercise. The kitchen is a very large kitchen. The bathrooms look like a country club. I mean, they're very well done.
Okay. Has there been any discussion with existing people that currently have a house that, you know, they're suddenly going to find these other houses in their backyard? Yeah, because when I went and visited the site, it looked like you have a pretty white vinyl fence.
Correct.
That separates the property from the spray irrigation field. So I'm thinking in particular, it's probably lot number 12 has a very private, convenient location because they have a white fence that's on two-thirds of their property.
Right. If you look on the plot, I think you'll find that there's land behind that's going to be open space anyway.
And will there be a size restriction on the houses to be built?
As is in the covenants we have already established.
Okay, because originally, going back to the minutes of the 2002, when this was originally presented to the commission, it was discussed that the minimum size was going to be 1,800 square feet.
Correct.
And then I saw that in some of the later changes in the restrictive covenants that this section of the development is permitted to be as small as 1,300.
That's correct, because we found there's a lot of resistance for people retiring down here for such a large house. And so what we've done is kept our lot sizes large, and we've gone ahead and cut down the size of the house for the person that doesn't want to take care of a big house. And we found that that's seems to be appealing to people. The other section, we've maintained the full size, but if you're just with two people, they don't need a large house, and the energy costs and everything have been an issue with some of our buyers, so we've tried to limit that.
Right, because I noticed in your covenant, it's 2,000 square feet in the other section, but that these lots were permitted to be 1,300.
Correct.
Tell me about why there shouldn't be a buffer on your southern side. Because what I'm hearing is, it seems almost conflicting to me, because if you have houses with smaller lots, which would have less privacy, now you're talking about having your property to be open right up to them, so that potentially their backyard is looking at the backyard of your houses.
Well, if you look at the historical context of the buffers were for agricultural reasons, and there are no more ag uses around us. And when the Ryan group came in to do their development, they basically did a bare bones development and got the buffer eliminated. Why that was the case, I don't know. But the facts are that our lots are almost twice what they're building on.
It may have been that the ordinance changed, because the new buffer doesn't take into account ag uses anymore. It's just 20 feet on every boundary. That's probably what Mike's getting at.
That's what I'm leading.
That may have been the difference.
Because under the old ordinance, it was primarily for agricultural. Now the new ordinance is between all subdivisions.
Right. Well, if you analyze the size of the lots themselves, you'll find they're very large. And that gives people the backyard to do what they wish to do. I would presume people put trees back there, whatever they wanted to do, but right now it's not there. Now, some of it is forested.
But other than
the ones
size
that come right up to the Ryan development there.
But other than you're saying that the size of your lots are going to be larger, I'm not hearing any reason why the commission should remove that requirement that's currently in our ordinance.
Well, this is the way it was originally planned when we had the original development in 2003. And in that regard, we've kept the same concept. But if the commission feels that you want a 20-foot buffer, I mean, there's plenty of room for a 20-foot buffer. We can do that. The lots are much larger, and we haven't done postage stamp lots like our competitors have.
Because it probably didn't require a buffer there, depending on what the use was next door back in 2003, because that would have been the old ordinance. You know, in a sense, it was part of the subdivision back then, even so, it wasn't. You know, there weren't lots there. It was still part of the subdivision, so it probably didn't require a buffer back then.
Right.
But under the ordinance today, in this condition, do we, in fact, require a buffer, or is it?
If you come in today, it's 20. It's not 30 feet because it's not next to ag, but it's 20 feet all the way around.
Yeah. Would it have to be 20 foot next to the existing section that already existed?
Well, see, that's what I don't know about, because, I mean, this was a previously approved
expansion,
part
of the original site.
Right. You know, if Mr. Dukes had come in with these, whatever it is, 17 lots on some vacant piece of ground, absolutely we need the perimeter all the way around. You know, but since it's an expansion to a site plan that was approved in 2003, it's something maybe to look at.
I would, if required at all, I would think it would just be on the south, in the south side. I can't see any reason. I don't see where it benefits the public in any way to do it anywhere else. And it does appear that there's ample land if they need to, or, I mean, if that's what our ordinance says, is what it says. But I certainly don't think I would assert that all the way around, especially since it adjoins itself.
Right.
So.
Right.
Well, and as been stated, this is an expansion of existing. It's not a new,
right.
It's not new subdivision.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not, this particular case, because of the size of the lots, I wouldn't insist on a buffer being there unless that's what we absolutely have to do.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make one other comment, because I believe, if I believe correctly, because it's been a long time, and I did the engineering on the adjacent subdivision a very long time ago, and I believe this section of that subdivision has fairly large buffers. So, you know, if it's an issue of we're just trying to meet the ordinance is one thing, but if we're concerned about buffers, I think that they have quite a large buffer on their side.
It's an issue of meeting the ordinance, though, because it requires it all the way around.
Right, and so, I'm just, you know, which I'm certain if that's a condition of the approval, we'd be glad to accommodate.
We have the room to do this.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's not an argument. It's just the way it was originally conceived.
Okay. I was just seeking an answer as if there was any special circumstances that precluded the 20-foot buffer, which I think we're kind of all in agreement there's not. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. For the benefit of those of you who haven't been on the commission quite as long, I was here for the last one. This isn't all that unusual, and I suspect we're going to see more of this as sewer is extended other places. I think it's always the implied intent of the applicant that at some point when public sewer becomes available, that land that they may seek, you know, subdivision for the land that becomes available as a result of that. So it's not all that strange. In fact, I think we'll be seeing more of it.
I'll echo that, because on this one, with me working with county engineering, I mean, the plan was developed with easements to the county from the start, which is, that's actually somewhat unusual.
I don't think there was any question when this application was done that this day would come.
Right.
I mean, I think we were all aware of that.
It's gone through the process of annexation in the Angola Next Sanitary Sewer District, you know, so it's following that process. Yeah, people are notified about it being brought into the sewer district, you know, so.
But it's always done with a 51% vote of the current subdivision, or no?
I think it's required for this.
It's an expansion. We looked at that.
Expansion. Yeah. So it's not a re-subdivision.
Okay.
It's just an expansion, so it's doesn't require that.
Okay.
No, it does require. Just,
I'm sorry, it does.
Yeah, yes. And that was provided.
You got
Shane
that.
Verified
yes.
that.
Okay.
He's got it. Yes.
Okay, we got that.
Just curious, I don't remember, it's been a few years, but when that subdivision was originally applied for, did the preliminary possibly show some future lots at that location, or just source?
I don't think
no.
Any source.
I know that.
I was just curious. Yeah. I don't remember.
I think in the original concept, it was marked for future development or something. And
that's
then,
kind of what I remember. I think right. I don't know that it was divided in lots, but I know it was set aside. It was noted that for future.
I just can't remember. We can verify that.
Yeah.
Well, our buyers were informed.
I don't know that it's. Yeah.
Our buyers were informed that this was going to happen because they knew there were 117 owners, and the facility was large, so the other 22 would be added to the facility, so they could share in the cost of operating the facility and the use. That's why we have such a large facility there.
Okay, so that was shared with them at time of purchase.
Yes. I did most of the closings, and we explained what was going on because they said, how are we going to pay for this pool and this big clubhouse, and you're going to have 22 more people supporting that.
It's an economic thing, right?
That's a help.
I was curious about the preliminary, not the final.
Not the final, sure.
That makes a difference, too, what you look at for buffers and everything else.
Many moons have passed since
then. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Burton,
you have the floor.
Are these lots the same size as the lots that are currently in the development?
Yes, they
so
are.
There's no, you're not going to notice a difference.
Everybody's equal. Okay. That's correct.
No,
that's why. Question. That's why we just went with the 22 lots.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to get this on the record, there's in the applicant's exhibit book a memo to Mr. Abbott from Mr. Robertson dated January 12th of this year regarding the 51% and the irrevocable powers of attorney that were provided by Mr. Dukes, et cetera, on that. Insofar as the conversion of this land that's now presently the wastewater area, do we know if that has by any means created some wetlands?
No, what's on site, to my knowledge, are lined wastewater storage lagoons and the spray facilities. And if there's created wetlands from the spray facilities, then they're not functioning because they wouldn't have been approved like that if they didn't have the hydraulic conductivity. So there should be no wetland issues. And what's being sprayed is, you know, highly treated effluent, so it shouldn't have any adverse effect. Was that your question?
Well, I was curious if you'd done any exploration of that to see if a state agency perhaps had a different opinion, because Mr. Ross in this, it's sometimes the bottoms of ditches
right.
that are put in as an improvement to like ag lands and all suddenly are then are termed to be wetlands areas. I know I created just a meager swale and that was regarded as wetland.
They're not ribs, you know, rapid infiltration basins where you would have water kind of sitting. It's the spray irrigation, which is an application that is much more readily infiltrated into the ground.
And the lagoon is?
And the lagoon is lined, and so it will simply be, once the first thing that will happen will be the connection to the force mains, and then once the force mains are connected, the treatment facility will be brought offline, and the lagoons will be pumped dry, and then they will be unlined, and all of this will be under the supervision of DNRAC and the Sussex County Engineering Department. And then the lagoons will be filled with constant compaction testing, you know, with some GTA or some Hines or somebody that monitors the compaction testing for structural. So it's a very overseen process. It's not like they just kind of cover it up and move on.
No, I wouldn't suggest him, but I think what I heard you say to my question was while there hadn't been a wetlands delineation done at this time, you're on this particular site where there has been water accumulated, mm-hmm. you're saying that as the site is demolished, it will be overseen and
right.
any recommendations,
those
et cetera, et cetera.
Those would be flagged by DNRAC personnel and everybody out there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Mr. Ross,
good question.
Okay, Mr. Lang?
No, all my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
Nope, none for me, thanks.
All right. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of Subdivision 2010-8 Villages at Herring Creek Development Company, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to Subdivision 2010-8? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if you make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.